College football nerds here talking Michigan and Michigan State. Really excited to discuss this game and have both of these teams this highly ranked, this late in the season with clean records. And we're going to get into some of that. But first, I want to remind y'all, please let us know in the comments. Everybody that comes to this channel, when you watch one of our videos, you got one piece of homework this week. We're going to give you two, but you got one piece of homework. That's to give us your score prediction in the comments. We want y'all fighting with each other because it helps us out in the algorithm. Number two, like and subscribe helps us out a lot. We do a ton of Big Ten content. We have a live show every Saturday night. And this Saturday, we spent a lot of time, every Saturday really, talking Big Ten football. So, yes, we are kind of in SEC country down here. A couple of SEC guys. But we love talking Michigan and Michigan State. So, Josh, what's interesting to me about this game is that Michigan opens as a 3.5-point favorite. They're on the road, which to me means that on a neutral field, maybe Vegas sees this as like maybe a 5.5-point favorite for Michigan. I want to start with the model because I've already seen it, so I think it's interesting. I want to start with the model and kind of use that to drive our discussion. So why don't you go ahead and break that thing out? Let us know what it says, and we'll go from there.
This is one set of fan bases where I don't think we've interacted a ton this year, so I'll sort of reintroduce some concepts. We run a model, and our model is based on this year's data, looking at your performance in every game, looking at how your opponents did against other teams they played, and sort of getting a comparative, purely relational idea of your team's strengths and weaknesses. Based off that, we get an idea of how this matchup is going to go between your team and the other team, specific to this game. Not like a global power rating, but it's particular to the matchups of this game. And then we feed that into a scoring model, which is really kind of it's a self-learning model, essentially, that looks at what your team has done to score points throughout the year. Basically, every team is viewed differently from the model in terms of what they need to be successful and how many points they can score based off situation. Not just like points per yard. It's more complicated than that. It's more like some exponential mathematics and breaking points and ceilings and that kind of thing. And then we come up with a score for this game. And here you see Michigan 31, Michigan State 29. Now that's not surprising. I think Michigan is a 3.5-point favorite, I believe, in this game. Our model has them by two. Some of the more interesting intermediate statistics. We generate a percentage of opponent averages allowed. Because we're doing all this relational math, one of the things I'm able to pull out of this is what percent of opponent averages have you been giving up run pass? Like four, if you're giving up 4 yards per carry, your opponents average five, you've given up 80% of their averages. I think one of the interesting things is those numbers are not really that great for Michigan and Michigan State. We usually say for run defense, you need to be below 80% preferably, you know, low 70s to be an elite run defense. Pass defense, an elite pass defense is 80% or lower as well. And average is about 90. So where Michigan and Michigan State are both flowing is solid to good. And I think there's a perception that these are elite level, top level defenses. But in terms of our model and its stats, it thinks they're more like 85% to 90%. And that's why you get the yardage statistics you do, as our model kind of says that Michigan and Michigan State are going to be about their average offensive production, a little bit below average, but not a ton. And that puts it at about 5.8 yards per play for both teams in this game.
And it's interesting to note, like, there's a couple of things here. So one, I think this is a valid point, and I think that's why this game has got 31-29 in the model. When you think of, like, run first, hard-nosed, you know, defensive-minded teams, you might think of a 20-17, 24-20 kind of score, but that's a valid point on the defenses. I think Ohio State fans are going to come into this and say, look, you know, they ain't played nobody, Paul, and that's why these teams are number 8 and number 6 and 7-0. And I got a little counterpoint to that. For first, Ohio State in this stretch hasn't played a lot of really good teams. But second, in a year where there's a lot of crazy going on, you'll take 7-0 with maybe some questionable defensive numbers because Penn State's losing Illinois, you know. Alabama lost to unranked Texas A&M. There's so much crazy going on this year that being undefeated going into November, basically, I don't care who you played, you got a Power 5 schedule. That's a pretty good thing at this point. So I just wanted to get that out there because I know it's going to get brought up in the comments that neither one of these teams have played anybody, so they're not any good, which I think is a little ridiculous because then I'm going to turn around and say, all right, who's your team? Who have they played? Because they've probably lost to somebody random at this point. Josh, I want you to touch on this, and this might upset Michigan State fans a little bit. But a couple weeks ago, they were getting at us because I said Michigan State can't throw the ball. And they said, this is crazy. You're crazy. And I'm sticking to my guns on this. But it's interesting. After their game against Indiana, they went from fourth in the nation in yards per play to eighth in the nation in yards per play, which eighth still sounds really good. But if you look in the Indiana game, I think they threw for like 4.8 yards per attempt. Is it fair to say that maybe that eighth in the nation is still a little bit of a fuzzy number, and the truth is that they really aren't what they're showing offensively to this point?
I think there's probably some accuracy to it. So both these teams have this. It's maybe even a lesser degree Michigan State than Michigan, but I'll walk through how the offenses have scaled really heavily to the opposing defenses. So Michigan State has three games where they're over 10 yards per attempt. That was Youngstown State, Western Kentucky, and Rutgers. And in those games, you know, 300 plus yards in each one of them. But when they've played better defenses like Northwestern, 7.1 yards per attempt. Miami was 8.4. That's a good, not great number. Nebraska was 8 yards per attempt. That's kind of just barely moving the sticks. Usually 7.5 I call competent. 8.5 is effective, and you're square in the middle. And then Indiana was 5.2. Now, let's say that Nebraska result was your average result. Where would they be? They'd be about 50th in the country if 8 yards per attempt was their average. But the thing is, their offense has been really explosive against teams that don't have good defenses. Rutgers has been lit up for 10-plus yards per attempt several times this year at this point. Obviously, Western Kentucky, not a good team. Youngstown State's an FCS. But I'll also say the same is true of Michigan. Michigan has 8 yards per attempt average. But that's 13 yards per attempt against Northern Illinois and Western Michigan, 10 yards per attempt again against Rutgers, who is getting lit up a number of times and I think has inflated a lot of Big Ten stats. Washington was 2.9 yards per attempt. Wisconsin was 8.4, which was good. We can debate back and forth how good Wisconsin's defense really is, but that's a whole other question. Nebraska was 6.5, Northwestern was 5.1. So the takeaway from this is one of two things is true. Either all these Big Ten defenses are so good that no one could throw on them, or you have to start to say, yeah, these offenses throw the ball decently well, but their real stats are being buoyed by playing teams that had bad pass defenses. And I think to credit both offenses, they've modernized enough where those RPO elements really, they're very effective at lighting up bad teams. Like Locksley at Maryland will destroy bad teams with that scheme. But when you play better teams with better talent level, those advantages do start to narrow, and you've got to have high-level quarterback play and high-level receivers to maintain the benefit of those advantages. Elite teams like Ohio State will still score 40 against anyone, but you got to have that kind of, it's really execution level that makes it work. And I'm not sure that either one of those teams are there. So just like we always say with Maryland, where they, a couple years ago, they were number one in the country and on most offensive stats after week 3 or 4, and I was kind of the first one to beat the drum and say, look, I've seen this style of offense, and I've seen Locksley in particular enough to know this isn't going to translate. I think the same may be true here, and I think that skews our model a little bit, that the model sees season averages, and it I don't think it quite can tell how much these teams scale up and down with the level of competition defensively.
I'm going to flip this around a little bit, though. And take what, you know, we talked about how we've got some concerns with these defenses, and I think they're valid concerns, but I think there's a positive for both teams on the other side of this, and this is maybe where we get into a decent number on this game. If you go down the schedules for both of these teams, neither one of them has faced a dude at running back, like a real potential top draft pick kind of guy, and both of these teams have that dude at running back. Michigan's got a couple. Is there a way in an era of modern offenses that really find their yardage and their points with RPO schemes and throwing and verticality. Is there a way in what, you know, both of these are kind of good, not great run defenses in the era of modern football, that having legitimately top talented running backs is enough to get you into the 30s?
I think there's probably an argument for it. And that what our model is suggesting more than anything versus Vegas is really that the over-under may be too low. Because I think the over-under in this game, our model is not based in any way on the point spread, let me be clear, but it's 51. And that's mid-20s, whereas our model has it low 30s, about a touchdown better per team. And I think it may be because our model is saying, hey, these teams both have legitimate running backs and some ability to push a defense that's reasonably good. And neither one of these teams had played a team that had a running back that could run on a reasonably good defense, really. And so I do think with both of them, yeah, I think you may have a point. Like, I think both of these teams may be a little surprised at how well the other team is able to move the ball or at least stay in reasonable down and distance. That will help the passing games. And maybe the score does start to creep up into the 30s a little bit like the model thinks it does. I mean, all this is sort of sussing it out. And really, we're just trying to pick at the data, right? Like, looking at our model and what our model's seeing, looking at what Vegas is seeing, trying to explain why it is where it is for Vegas and our model. I don't feel like this game is a trap game, per se. You know, I talk a lot. You kind of have two games and when you look at Vegas lines. One is you have games where Vegas just has the line set right, and one is trap. And in trap games, invariably, if you look at the point spread and you go, oh my gosh, I can't believe Georgia's only favored by 4. The trap game is Georgia's going to lose. Like, whoever, if you see a point spread where you say, I can't believe this team is only favored by X or what have you, right? And everybody thinks, oh man, it's obvious this team is going to cover or not cover. It's always the opposite. And that's usually, to me, the most sure bet is when you see the bad lines, it's the best indication of a line that you can hit the other direction. But this is, I think, an even line. I think Vegas probably has really good metrics on why it is where it is. And really, both of us are just, I think, trying to figure out why our model and Vegas are a little disparate. And I do think that scaling offensive issue might be the rationale there.
All right, I'm ready to pick my score for this one. Give me Michigan 27, Michigan State 24. And for people who don't follow us, we frequently say anytime we're picking a game this close, we don't know any more than anybody else. Like, variability comes into play. No result surprises us. Like, Michigan State winning this game does not surprise me in any way, especially since it's at home. Kenneth Walker is that dude. I could see it going that way. But I got 27-24 Michigan. Tell me who you got.
Am I allowed to pick the same score? Because that's what I was going
to
pick.
You are. You've been trying to do it all night, so go ahead.
Yeah, I've got the same score, 27-24 Michigan. I do think Vegas has their – both of us would have Michigan failing to cover, right, because it's 3.5. I think Vegas is right on the pulse on this one. I think it's where the two teams are. In any time you're in the 20s to 30s, like, you, not only is it a close game, so we could see it going either way. Football is a high variable sport. Stuff happens. Fumbles are completely unpredictable and who's going to recover it. There's a lot of stuff like that in the game. But anytime scores get under 30, games get squirrely. If scores get under 20, anybody can win. Like, Illinois-Penn State is a perfect example of that. Once you're under 20 points, you can double the other team's yardage, but your points per yard, all that kind of stuff goes out the window. It's like three plays are winning the game. So if one team makes three plays, that'll negate everything everybody else has done. We're still just barely past that threshold. So one big play from either team can easily win it. And I do think this is going to be a run-dominated game that probably is going to see more ball movement. But like we said in another video, right, we were talking about Ole Miss and Auburn. The problem is, if you've got to have 10 to 12 play drives, it is so hard to do that and not have a negative play, not have a holding call, not have a tackle for loss. Because a first down is a fresh set of downs, and that's great. But it's also sort of a complete reset of starting your drive. And you may have just gotten 7-8 yard runs in a row. But now all of a sudden you go -2 and it's 2nd and 12 and you can't convert on that set of downs. So I think that is what's going to kind of plague this game and keep it lower scoring, even though I think the yardage might actually be decent. I think it's just going to be hard for either team to be consistent enough to score, given what I expect to be something of a lack of explosiveness on the passing
game. All right, that's it for us on Michigan, Michigan State. Let us know what you think is going to be the score for this game. And get at us next week. I guess Saturday night we'll be doing a live show. Some of y'all might be out trick-or-treating, but we'll be out there 10 p.m. Eastern. Thanks so much, y'all. Have a great week, and God bless.